Hello, everybody. My name is Dave.
And I'm Stacy. Welcome to the Plants Change My Life podcast. We are a husband and wife team living in Houston, arguably the barbecue capital of Texas, who share a passion for good food and holistic wellness. We're on a mission to inspire people to live their best lives through healthy food choices, one meal at a time.
Every individual making these choices today will help create a legacy of good health for the next generation. With that in mind, we're expanding our topics to empower you with more knowledge and inspiration. We will continue to bring you stories from people who have experienced awesome changes with the plant-based lifestyle, but you'll also hear from other amazing individuals who are taking action to spread messages of sustainability, self-sufficiency, and global consciousness.
So let's get started. We recognize the importance of food access and security more than ever. There's no better time to learn how you can start growing your own food. So today we're talking to a man who's passionate about doing just that. And he's all about keeping things simple. So grab your tea and take a seat. Here's his story. We're here with Timothy Hammond, who is well known as the Big City Gardener. He has created an awesome platform dedicated to making the world a greener place by empowering people with knowledge and tools for growing their own food. We're so excited to have him here with us to chat about how plants have changed his life and more. Thank you for joining us. Let's start by learning a little bit about you and where you're from.
Hey, first, thank you for having me on the show. I appreciate the opportunity. Currently I'm in Houston, and I was born in Baton Rouge, but raised in Houston.
So a lot of people's parents or grandparents or great grandparents grew up on farms or gardening, but that's usually not the case anymore. And in many cases, those skills haven't been passed down to new generations. So how and when did you get into gardening?
So both of my parents are really big into gardening. Even still to this day, they both still love gardening. So they just kind of really introduced it to me when I was younger. I remember they had, we had like vegetable gardens in the back behind the house, and I would get in trouble for, I don't know, picking the tomatoes too early when they were green and using them like baseballs and throwing them against the fence or throwing them at my neighbor's house. So I would get in trouble for that. So really, I would just say I got introduced to gardening from my parents, and they got introduced to gardening from their parents because my parents are from Jamaica. So they both of them grew up gardening.
So at what point did you, I'm sure like growing up around gardening, you probably took a lot of things maybe for granted, but as an adult, was it something that you always kind of did, or did you like pick it up at some point in adulthood?
No, so I would say that gardening has been my little secret for a long time. Back when I was in high school, my dad, he was, like I said earlier, he was big into gardening. So we would take trips to, I mean like day trips, not weekend long trips. We would take day trips to different nurseries throughout the state of Texas or throughout the city. And we would just look at different plants and kind of learn about different plants. And he planted this pretty massive garden full of a bunch of perennials and Texas natives and a bunch of roses. So, I've just always really been into gardening, but none of my friends, or probably most of the world, didn't really know that I was into gardening. They just knew that whenever they came over, I was probably cutting the grass or something, and I had to do that before I could go out and play basketball with them.
So I think that's pretty cool that this is something that you grew up with and something that you've maintained, and now you're actually making it your livelihood. How did you transition all this knowledge into like a business?
So I have to credit one of my good friends named Chance Foreman. There was just a transitional period in my life. I had just had my son, and I was, one day holding him, looking at him in his eyes, telling him, "Hey, you can do whatever you want. You should do whatever you want." This is when he's young, before he really understands. And it was kind of at that moment I realized that I wasn't really doing what I loved or enjoyed or even wanted to do for that matter. So I was, my buddy Chance, we always have some pretty good conversations. And I just brought that up in one of the conversations. And he was like, "Man, you should get on Instagram and just kind of tell people about gardening or show people how much you enjoy gardening." And that was really my first introduction to social media because I hadn't been on any of the other social media platforms prior to that. So I don't know, just, like I said, I was at a transitional period, and he proposed that idea to me, so I just kind of hopped on with it. And really, I just try to show people, or one, I try to show people that anybody can garden. And you don't have to have the nicest, fanciest garden. I just try to show people that gardening is accessible to everyone.
So, can you speak a little bit about what some of the services are that you offer as Big City Gardener?
Really, now it's mostly a lot of online consultations and just kind of helping people set up their gardens, or if they have any questions, consulting services regarding their gardens. That's where we're at. We put on, or I put on some classes, or I'm in the process of transitioning to teach some classes, some in-person classes. But yeah, that's what we got. That's what I offer.
So, what are some of the positive impacts you found from growing your own food?
I'd probably say just knowing what you are putting in your body. If you go to the store and you buy produce, you don't actually know where it comes from. They can tell you the name of the farm, but you don't actually know what they sprayed on it, or what the soil quality is like, or how the food was produced, or even, you don't even know the energy of the farmer who was growing the food. I believe that food can transfer the energy of the person growing it. So one of the benefits from growing your own food is that, I don't know, one, you can just grow healthier, more nutritious food than you can buy in the grocery store. And you'll just know what you put on it, or what you did or didn't do to that food.
That's interesting you say that from your perspective of, as a gardener. It's we do besides this podcast, we do a food vegan food pop-up, and we speak about that pretty often, about the energy of us as the people who are cooking it, and what we put in it, providing the outcome of what we put out, But I mean, I never thought, it's the first time I've heard it from that perspective of the grower,
Yeah, that's I just believe that energy is a real thing, and I know energy is real, right? You get electricity or whatever through energy, but I just mean that all living things possess energy, and you're able to kind of transfer that energy from thing to thing. So I just want to make sure that I'm putting good positive energy into my body. Same thing you guys do with your food.
So you spoke on one point. I thought about we living in Houston, where there is a lot of oil and chemicals in the environment and land. How important is that soil that you mentioned in the planting of plants, and what practices can people develop to improve that soil, even in not so ideal conditions?
So soil is the most important thing when it comes to gardening or growing. And I think it's often overlooked. I think people spend more money on like the aesthetics of their garden or what they're going to build their garden beds out of. They spend more time and money thinking about that than actually thinking about what are the roots, what substance, what medium am I going to put in this container or box or garden? Like whatever I put in here, it comes in contact with the roots. And the roots of the plant are what absorb all of the nutrients, and then they transfer it to the leaves and to the fruits or vegetables.
I didn't understand that until recently. My dad used to ask me, because our kids, you know, Dave and I are both like plant-based and our kids were born that way. And my dad's always asking like, you know, I know y'all are trying to do this veggie thing, but are you making sure that you're taking supplements? Because they're in the soil quality is not good anymore. And I'm like, didn't really understand what he was talking about until I watched a documentary recently that talked about soil quality and how soil is like our earth soil is like going through this thing where it's running out of quality soil. And so that documentary really opened my eyes. And now I understand why when you buy certain organic products, they talk about the soil quality on the package because, you know, that's the nutrients that your food is getting.
Right.
So I'm glad that you brought that up. And one of the things I wanted to ask you about, too, was your thoughts about organic versus non-organic foods. Like, how important is that and I guess organic growing, is that something that you do or?
So yes, I practice organic growing, organic growing methods. But I think when it comes to the term organic, I kind of think it started off holding more weight than it does now. Or at least that's what I feel. I feel like it's kind of watered down and they don't have the same strict regulations that they may have used to have prior to like organic becoming a buzzword or the hot thing to do. Yes, if possible, you should buy organic because it will contain less chemicals, or it should contain less chemicals than the conventional food that, or something that's grown conventionally, the same thing that's grown conventionally. But at the same time, if possible, I feel like if you could know the farmer who grew the food, that's almost better than organic, if that makes sense.
Yes, that makes a lot of sense.
Like I think people use that term organic and it's almost as if just because it's organic, you're still lacking that connection to the food. You just bought some food that people may have used different fertilizers on, but you still don't know anything about the actual grower or you don't know anything about their growing practices. I don't know if that answered the question.
Yes, that makes perfect sense.
Okay.
So I guess the suggestion is reaching out to or finding the local farmers and speaking to them, seeing what practices they actually use.
If possible, I think, you know, there's like this big push now for buy local and shop small. I think that's extremely relevant or extremely important when it comes to food and produce in general. I think that your food should come from relatively close to where you live. So shopping at local farmers markets or shopping at farmers markets where, you know, you can see the farmer and if you want to ask them questions, if not, at least you know that, I mean, they care enough about their food to come out here and try to sell it at the farmer's market.
That goes into, we realize that like one of your missions is to kind of push the idea of the importance of growing your own food. Because, I mean, essentially, if you can grow your own, you have to go buy less, you know?
Right.
And we know, I'm a teacher. I see a lot of youth. I teach high school. And I know that youth sometimes have the idea of cool being whatever you wear, maybe how you dance, if you can rap, if you could dribble a ball, or maybe how many curse words you could say, you know? Mm-hmm. But in today's time of, like, where everything's fast-paced, you have internet, all the videos you see are quick, flashing right by, you know, all the lights and things like that. So in today's time of everything fast-paced, how can you, in your mission, how do you feel that you can make something slow and something where you have to have patience, like gardening, something that's cool?
So I don't really know about making it cool. Like, to me, I think if I can make, not even make, if I can invite somebody out to garden, or I can get somebody out into the garden and they can kind of remove themselves from that fast paced life that they're in daily. Right. So in my mind, you make gardening cool by teaching people that nobody has a perfect life. So people deal with stress, or there are certain things that stress people out in life, and getting out in the garden is a way for you to kind of de-stress and get rid of all those things that are bothering you. So how do I make it cool? I make it cool by trying to show people that, like this is more than just growing your own food, and this is more than knowing where your food comes from. This is also just a way for you to reconnect with nature and just kind of reconnect to a world that's almost been forgotten because of the access that we have to information, or the internet, or this fast life. People have kind of gotten away from the simpler things. So I think you try to make it cool, or I try to make it cool by just reminding people, like, hey, before this internet came around, I don't know, 20 years ago, or 20 plus years ago, for a long time, people have been doing this gardening thing. So there's probably something about this gardening thing that maybe you should look into.
Mm-hmm. So you live in the heart of the city, right? Like, you don't live on some, like, acres and acres of land where you have all this space to grow. I'm curious to know, because I know a lot of people are in urban areas where they don't have just all kinds of space to plant things. So I guess I'm curious to know, like, how did you actually, considering the space that you're in, how do you make gardening successful? What are some of the challenges that you faced gardening with limited space, and how do you overcome those challenges?
All right, so yes, I am basically in the middle of the city. I'm a couple blocks from downtown. So the challenges that I face, or I've come across, the challenges have really come from development coming to my area. So before, when I first started the garden, there were no houses to the left or the right, or I guess to the east, west, or south of me. So I was getting a lot of sun. And over the years, people have come and built some big four-story townhouses behind me, so they kind of block a good amount of my sunlight. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the challenges, one of the main challenges when it comes to urban gardening, or just trying to grow with limited amount of space, is you have to make sure that you're using every bit of that space efficiently. Okay, so when it comes to trying to increase the amount of food that I'm able to grow, I just make sure that I try to plant my beds pretty intensively. So in between certain crops, I'll have other crops growing. And as some crops are matured or maturing, I'll plant some crops underneath them in their shady areas to kind of make sure that I constantly have something growing in the bed.
Mm-hmm. What percentage of your food do you grow yourself? And it seems like you're growing a lot of different things all the time. Like, are you pretty much in a space where what you're growing, everything you're growing is what you're eating, and you're not, or do you still tap into other farmers' Do you like do swaps and things like that?
Yeah, so I do not have enough land to produce all of the food that my family and I would like to eat. So we're still definitely shopping at farmers markets, or like you said, swapping out food with people. We do that whole swapping thing on an app called Crop Swap, where you're able to just kind of barter your food with other people. But the goal for me, is to have enough land where we're able to grow enough, let's say, potatoes and sweet potatoes, and we have a way to store them so that, you know, we're able to produce as much of the produce that we're eating as possible. I don't know that we would ever, well, I guess if possible, we could grow everything we eat, but it would probably get pretty hard. Or I'd have to move out of the city and into probably a little bit more rural area where I can get some more land.
So what are some of your favorite things to grow in your space?
So like in the fall and winter time, I like to grow a lot of leafy greens, right? I'd like to not have to buy the $5 or $6 box or bag of salad from the grocery store every week. So I grow a lot of greens so that we can eat salad or juice them every day and still have a nice supply out there. I also like growing sweet potatoes just because, well, one, I really like sweet potatoes. And then there's just a few different varieties that I'm not sure people are really aware of, or they're not really as familiar with. There's like some purple varieties of sweet potatoes that are really good. So yeah, I enjoy growing sweet potatoes, but really, I don't know that I just enjoy growing anything more than anything else. I just like growing. So whatever it is, I'll try to grow it. And then, you know, if it's successful, cool. And if it's not successful, then I'll probably end up growing it again to figure out what went wrong with it.
You have some really yummy recipes on your website, and I really loved the one of the posts you made about Super Bowl snacks, and you wrote that you used to eat more of the traditional junk food for Super Bowl, but now you've made some healthier swaps. What role did gardening play in helping you change your diet?
So I'd say that I eat healthier snacks at Super Bowl a lot because of my wife. She really went on this eat super healthy kick. And that was cool with me because I've always ate pretty healthy, but she kind of took it up to another level. But gardening just in general should help you eat better, right? Because you're in control of what you plant. So, I mean, having a garden and having fresh food or fresh herbs or access to these fresh food and fresh herbs right outside, it'll make you think differently, right? You'll see the food and you can either waste it or you can find something to do with it. And gardening or having a garden, it just kind of forces you to learn new recipes or to look up new ways of preparing food. Because, I mean, like if you grow eggplants, you're only going to want to eat eggplant parmesan so many times before you get bored with it, right? Yes. So you're going to need to find other recipes. So just having a garden, it almost forces you to become more of a chef.
I guess these worlds are correlated. I've always tried to do a little bit of gardening. I've not been the best at it, but I've always just like, I would be the one that doesn't follow the guidelines and I just go test things. And half the time, well, majority of the time, it doesn't work. But this year, past couple of years, it's been better and better each year. And naturally though, from us cooking a lot, we see the waste that's left over, you know, and that goes into composting. We've been just really telling ourselves that we need to get a compost bin or start one and things like that. Lately, I've just been throwing things straight into the garden, into the yard. And we have a lot of leaves where we live, so straight into some leaves for now. But we know the importance of composting. We're starting to learn the importance of composting also from watching this documentary. But can you speak on that idea of composting and how important it is in your gardening and, I mean, for someone that's getting into gardening?
Yeah, so I would say that composting is a way. All right, so before I say this, I would say that when it comes to gardening, there's different approaches you can kind of take. Some people get into gardening saying that they're going to grow their own food or they just want to grow flowers or whatever it may be. But at the end of the day, when it comes to gardening, it's also about helping the planet, right? Or what can you do to make the planet a greener place? And one thing you can do is composting. And composting is just a way where you're kind of recycling what would be waste, what would end up in a landfill, and we're recycling it and turning it into something we can reuse in our garden. We'll have a lot of the kitchen scraps or newspapers or leaves or grass clippings, they end up in a landfill, kind of just taking up space and breaking down and releasing, you know, gas into the atmosphere that we might not necessarily need up there. And you're able to kind of take all of this waste and divert it from the landfill and use it to create this nutrient-rich substance that'll feed your plants and also mulch your plants at the same time. So I think composting is, one, something great for the planet, but it's also just a great way to create this basic fertilizer for free, because all you need is an area to compost or a bucket or a bin of some sort to compost in, and all of the things that you were just going to throw away, you're able now, like I said, to convert those into a nutrient-rich product. I think a lot of people, when they think about composting, they see this big, massive pile outside in their head. That's what they think. But, you know, there's many different ways that you can compost. You don't have to have the big pile outside. It doesn't have to smell bad. It doesn't have to attract flies or anything. I mean, done properly, there's some ways that you can compost in an apartment or in a balcony, or really there's a way to compost that matches any lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. And I have to mention too that you have some really great resources on your website about composting. And I learned some things too, like it doesn't have to be complicated. You don't have to spend a lot of money, you know, like you don't need big fancy equipment. You don't have to. I mean, it can go as expensive, I'm sure, as you want it to, but you don't necessarily have to spend a whole lot of money to get started, right?
Right. And that's one thing about me is I try to make gardening and everything about gardening accessible to everybody. Because in my mind, a lot of these fancy, I want to say contraptions, fancy things that you can buy that deal with gardening, they're not really necessary, right? Because people have been gardening since the beginning of time. And in the beginning of time, they didn't have all of these fancy tricks or gadgets. Mm-hmm. It was just a very simple thing. So kind of one thing that I'm about or that I try to teach or instill with Big City Gardener is like, let's get back to doing things as simply as possible.
I like that. So speaking of keeping things simple, what are some of the basics that somebody who's trying to get a good start, like what are some of the basics that you need to get started with gardening from ground zero?
First, you're going to need to find an area to garden. So you're going to want to go outside and like I say, kind of watch the sun and see where you get the most sunlight and the least amount of sunlight. You're going to want to kind of record this information. If at possible, you're going to want to find an area facing south because those seem to receive the most sunlight. Then you're going to need to decide on a style of gardening, whether you want to do raised beds or in-ground beds or containers. And then after that, you're going to get to really what the most important part is, and that's the soil quality or the soil just in general. And you don't want to skimp on soil quality. If possible, you should try to find your soil from a smaller soil yard. Or let me not just say smaller. You should try to find your soil from just a soil yard, as opposed to going to a big box store and buying just bags of soil. You'll get a better quality product if you get it from a local spot. Then after that, you're going to need to kind of do a little bit of research about your area. You're going to need to know, like, you know, certain terms, like when you get your first freeze date and when your last freeze date is. You're going to need to learn your zone. But this is all information that's relatively easy to find. You could just hop on the internet and type in gardening zone and put your zip code in, and it'll pop up with what zone you're in, probably what grows well in your zone, what all your freeze and frost dates are. So I kind of feel like with that knowledge right there, you can really just kind of get started, man. Start with something small and easy, right? Start with lettuce, start with herbs. These things, they grow relatively quickly. You're able to harvest them. You're able to harvest them quickly. So, you know, you kind of build up that confidence when it comes to gardening, or if you're just getting started gardening, you're able to build up that confidence through growing these herbs or these leafy greens. And then, you know, from that, you just kind of realize that gardening is like everything else in life. It's just a learning process. People who say they're better gardeners or the best gardeners, they're just people who've just been gardening for a long time. They've killed more plants than you're going to kill. They've done a lot of things. It's just all trial and error with gardening. You'll get some, you know, there's some knowledge to it, like what does nitrogen do and what do these certain chemicals do with the plants. But for the most part, it's really just about getting out there and just spending time in the garden.
Okay. I like that. It all comes with just doing, getting it out there and just doing it and learning from it.
That's it. And when you do it, don't compare your garden to gardens you see on Instagram, or don't compare your experience to anything like that. Like your gardening experience, your gardening adventure, that's yours. So it's going to mean something different to everybody. Everybody's going to get something different from it. But at the same time, just remember, like, there's not a right or wrong way to garden.
Can we talk just a little bit? You speak a little bit on your blog about food as medicine. And that's one of the things that I just love about plants. And can you talk a little bit about some of these healing foods and some of them that you actually grow, and your experience growing them?
Yeah. So when I say food is medicine, to me, there's nothing new. There's nothing really new on this planet. A lot of these plants, they just may not have been discovered yet, but like I said, there's nothing new. Mm-hmm. So when I speak about food being medicine, I'm just meaning that for thousands or millions of years prior to there being what we call modern medicine, people would always get sick. People would have headaches, stomach aches, whatever it may be. And there was always I mean, depending on the culture, there was different names for them, but there was always some sort of herbalist, or maybe they called him a medicine man, and they would just know about different herbs that you could ingest and that they would help heal you. So I just think that that still exists to this day, and it's kind of been forgotten or kind of been pushed to the side by modern medicine. But that's not, I don't want it to come off like I think that modern medicine doesn't have a place and you can do everything with food. That's not what I'm saying. But I think if you start with good, healthy food, then you will more than likely develop less health issues. So when you ask me about what kind of medicinal foods people can grow, you could just grow herbs, like from oregano to rosemary to thyme. Like all of these herbs, even ones I didn't name, all of these herbs, the oils extracted from these herbs, they all contain different medicinal or healing properties. And they're all relatively easy to grow. So things like oregano, they're antibacterials. I don't know, things like mint, they're good for your stomach. There's just so many different herbs. Like I said, there's just so many herbs out there. And not even just herbs, just all foods in general, from turmeric to ginger. They all just, like I said, cultures for many years have been using them. So I just feel like, why would we not continue to use them?
Yes. I love that. I love everything about what you just said. I think our society has definitely evolved to place less emphasis on something that's just so simple and natural. So you have two young children, a little boy and a little girl. They're 5 and 3?
5 and 3, yes.
What are the most important lessons you want them to take into adulthood when it comes to food?
When it comes to food, just to understand it and just kind of respect it and appreciate it. I think a lot of people don't know where their food comes from. And I don't actually mean like which farm grew it. I mean, if you were to show people certain plants, they wouldn't be able to identify what food grows on these plants. So I just want my kids just to be knowledgeable and just respect and appreciate everything that food does for you, and all of the kind of hidden aspects, like we just talked about, all the medicinal benefits off of these plants and herbs. I want them just to understand that, yes, food is good, healthy, and nutritious, but it's also mysterious. So you kind of just, I don't know. I just want them to just want to learn more about food. I want them to respect it and appreciate it and just be intrigued to learn more about food. Because I feel like if that's the case, then you'll treat food differently. It won't just be something you use as an energy source or a fuel source. It would also make sure that you'll also try to make sure that you're putting the highest quality products in your body.
Mm-hmm. I just have a couple more questions for you, and I appreciate everything, all the knowledge you've shared with us so far. What are some of your favorite inspirational resources for gardening that you can share for people who are, I think a lot of people right now in these times are probably thinking about gardening more than ever. So what are some of the resources that you love that you can share?
Oh, man. You know, there's I don't know. There's a lot of different one. I don't know. I mean, it kind of depends on like your style of gardening. Yeah, I would say it depends on your style of gardening. If you're into organic and natural and as cheap, trying to make like your fertilizers or your own inputs as cheap as possible. I was introduced to a book called Jadam, Jadam, by a friend of mine named Marco. And there are these old practices of how people were able to make their own fertilizers and make the soil healthier and richer for basically next to nothing. Now, that's kind of like that's probably a little bit more advanced. But if you're just looking for something to get started gardening, I don't know. You could probably get, or not probably, you'll get a lot of good information from all of those, like Texas A&M's or any of the ag schools. If you go on their websites, they have just literally like information overload.
So you've created a successful business with gardening and you've inspired so many folks along the way. What's the next thing you hope to accomplish?
I'd like to be able to get enough people interested in gardening to where certain neighborhoods could kind of, in neighborhoods like food deserts where they don't have access to fresh food, if I could get enough people interested in gardening, then maybe residents in these neighborhoods could, maybe find one of these empty lots or abandoned lots in their area and maybe convert it into a place where people grow food. And I think that could be done or recreated all throughout the city and not just my city in Houston, all throughout America. But I think it could have a positive effect on the residents. So I guess that's kind of one thing I'd like to do or like to be a part of in somehow, some way.
I love that. That's awesome. Definitely something that's needed around, not just in Houston, but in communities across the world. How can people connect with you and learn more about everything you're doing?
Also, I'm at Big City Gardener on all social media platforms, even on YouTube. Or you can get at me at bigcitygardener.com. Got a blog there where I try to post articles dealing with gardening on a bunch of different topics. From any of these social media platforms or from the website, if you need to get in touch with me, more than that, then, you know, DM me or send me an email.
Is there anything else that we haven't talked about that you would like to mention?
No, I think we covered it, man. I just want people to grow food. I want more people to grow food. I want more people to grow flowers, fruit trees. I just want people to grow it. Even if you don't continue to grow it forever, just get out there and try to grow it once so that next time when you go to the grocery store to purchase whatever it is, you have just a little bit more appreciation for that food.
Thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to share so much knowledge and wisdom with us. We appreciate you and we love everything that you're doing.
No, thank you very much for the opportunity. I really mean it.
We want to thank you again, Timothy, for all the wonderful knowledge that you shared with us on plants and gardening. In today's Pantry Makeover segment, we want to shine a spotlight on rosemary, one of the many healing herbs that you can grow to have on hand at home. Rosemary is an aromatic herb that is native to the Mediterranean region. Its leaf and its oil are used to make medicine. People have traditionally tapped into rosemary for improving memory, indigestion, arthritis-related joint pain, and hair loss. Rosemary has notes of camphor, lemon, mint, pepper, pine, and sage. It is botanically related to basil, lavender, marjoram, mint, oregano, sage, summer savory, and thyme. You can use rosemary in baked goods with beans as a spice in Italian and Mediterranean dishes, and it's also good in drinks like lemonade.
My favorite dish with rosemary is roasted potatoes, hands down. What about you?
Well, I do love rosemary potatoes also, but I really like to put my rosemary in teas. We make a quinque leba tea with rosemary, and I like to just eat it straight up sometimes, just raw. It's good for brain function, so I do like to do that often.
Before we go, we have another listener question to answer. We had someone send us a question. She says, I meet people who express that they are vegan, but that they eat meat sometimes. And she wanted to know how to respond to that.
Well, to me, I think it boils down to those labels. I think in reality, they're not just labels, but they are labels, you know, and they do have value. Words have a lot of value and meaning. And we have to realize that, but we also have to realize that every person is at their own stage of development. And when they are introduced to something, they're at that stage that really you can't judge them in the sense of they don't have all the information yet. And what you should value is that they actually are at a place where they can actually make the statement of saying that, oh, I am vegan, or I am sometimes vegan or partially vegan. Even though people with a gained knowledge will probably say, oh, no, it's not really vegan. But in reality, this person is making steps towards something that you value. So I think embrace that rather than judge it. And if it's a matter of that's where your space is, then give them information and never be forceful in that information. Just if they ask for it, tell them. If you feel they need, they are pushing towards it, then provide them with a resource for that information. And I think that's the best way to go.
I think that if someone is speaking about being vegan and then they mention that they eat meat sometimes, I think it's a teaching opportunity. Because as someone, like for me, I come from the perspective of I'm not eating animals because I love animals. So if you have compassion for animals, and that's not something that you would necessarily do. And vegan comes with that label of having that animal compassion as well as the health aspect. Sometimes people are vegan just for the animal compassion aspect without the health aspect. Everybody has their own reason for entering this space. But I think that if you meet somebody like that, you can, there's a way to do everything. And I think that you could just, you know, politely mention that, you know, vegan means that you have this animal compassion and that you wouldn't eat animals, but there's a better label that you can use. You could probably just say, oh, so you mean you're plant-based, you know, because that is more of an open type of concept where your main meals are centered around plants, but not necessarily that you don't have meat occasionally.
Yeah. I agree. I think ultimately, you should look at your own mission. Individually, you look at your mission. And if your mission is to become a better person overall, then take those steps. And what anyone tells you is not really reflective of what you're trying to push out to do. And you're going to have noise on a person who's vegan and hears that, that's noise to them. On a person who's not vegan and it's always lashed out towards them to say that, oh, yeah, you're really not vegan, but this. To me, it's noise, and you have to like just go inward and quiet yourself and really focus on what your mission is, what your goal is, and start working towards that. And we all know, everybody on the side of plant-based and veganism and health knows that once you take one step, you're gradually going to get into other steps. So allow people to have their space and time to grow.
Do you have a question? We want to hear from you. Send us your question through the Contact Us link on PlantsChangeMyLife.com. We love spreading the word about the benefits of a healthy, whole food, plant-based diet and want to invite you to join us in the movement. We just launched a campaign to sell 100 shirts in 21 days. So make today the day to grab a Plans Change My Life t-shirt for yourself or someone you love. And now you can choose from a wider variety of colors, sizes, and styles. Just go to PlansChangeMyLife.com and click on merch to get your shirt.
Remember, your purchase helps us carry out our mission. You can also help by sharing the podcast with others, leaving feedback, and subscribing to the show wherever you listen. We truly appreciate your support.
Thank you for listening to the Plans Change My Life podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's show. Please follow us at Plans Change My Life on Instagram and Facebook. And also, you can head over to PlansChangeMyLife.com for additional information about the show and the resources mentioned. Also, if you or someone you know has a story to share, please get in touch with us at stories@PlansChangeMyLife.com.
Respect and always remember, when you eat good,
you reap good. Plans change my life.
Plans change my life.
Plans change my life.